How do we come to know all this unless we know the word of truth? And tonight it's the word of truth. If you have your Bibles this morning, open them to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes is back there by Psalms and Proverbs. Bonus question. Anybody know what Ecclesiastes means? Preacher. It's about the preacher. Ecclesiastes 12, 10. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright. Word of truth. Father, I ask you to add your blessing and your anointing to this message tonight. And I pray for the ears of the hearers, that the message that you dropped into my heart would go to them. Father, I pray that it be mixed with faith and that there be fruit bountiful in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read that same in the message. Instead of preacher, it says quester. The quester did his best to find the right words and write the plain truth. The words of the wise prod us to live well. Okay? We're going to go into the next verses here in a minute. But I want to say this. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright. Words of truth. Well, the other night I was praying, seeking God for what he wanted to speak tonight. And I hadn't gotten a clear message on what he wanted to speak, have me speak on. It was one of those that the more I wrestled with it, the more it got tied up in knots. And so I said, Lord, I need to set this aside. So I went to bed. 3 o'clock in the morning, I was wide awake. Something about 3 o'clock, I don't know what it is. 3 o'clock in the morning, I was wide awake. And I just kind of said a little prayer because I said, well, if I'm going to be awake, I'm going to, you know, if the devil's waking me up, I'm going to make a black eye for him because I'm going to start praying. If God's waking me up, I'm going to be communing with him anyway. So I made a choice. I started praying. And one of the first things on my heart had to do with, Lord, what am I supposed to speak on? A lot of times the Lord will answer me by giving me the topic or giving me a scripture, like say it was John 3:16, he wanted, says, for God so loved the world. And I know where he's going. This time he gave me the address. Chapter, book, chapter, and verse. He said, Ecclesiastes 12:10. I said, okay. I started to pray some more or maybe drift off to sleep and say, well, I wonder what that says. And so I opened up my phone and got the Bible out, and I read, the preachers sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth. I said, well, Lord, isn't that what I'm asking you? I'm trying to find the words that you want spoken, and that's what you're giving me is, hey, I know where you're at. So I said, well, I knew the message then was he wanted me to speak on this, but that was the lead-in, because when you go on, we find out about deeper wisdom in the next passages. Ecclesiastes 12:11 through 14 says, the words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, be admonished by these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And I chewed on that for a while. I looked in the message here, and it says, the words of the wise prod us to live well. They're like nails hammered home, holding life together. They are given by God, the one shepherd. I got to looking at it, and I said, you know, it says the words of the wise and the words of scholars, and they came from the same shepherd. Who's our shepherd? Jesus. They came from the same shepherd. So they weren't words to belittle us. They weren't words to make us cringe because he called my name. I remember when my mom would call my name, if she used my first, middle, and last name, I knew I was in trouble. If she just called me by my first name, it depended on how high she raised the volume or what pitch she used, whether or not I needed to come and say yes, or do I go now or do I go later? Do I go hide? I knew by how she called my name. Well, this isn't talking about the shepherd berating someone. The words of the wise and the words of the scholars are from the same shepherd. It's talking about wisdom coming from the Lord. Wisdom in how to do things. The words of the wise. Did you know there's more wisdom than just inside this book? There's wisdom throughout the world. We'll get to that in a little bit. But God gives us wisdom. I'm not talking about the word, the spiritual gift, word of wisdom, just plain ordinary wisdom. You get saved, you get wiser. But he also says the words of the wise and the words of scholars, those who study the topic, and they come from the same shepherd. Now, part of this in here, I had to chuckle because it says, of making of many books, there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Well, I've been studying for a long time, and I know it's not only worrying my flesh, it's worrying Kathy. Are you still studying? So, there's a lot of truth in there, and it's like I got a little chuckle because I saw a piece of me right there. All the different study and scholarship I've been doing. But as I went on, I looked at it, it says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Fear God and keep his commandments. Between man and God, the one thing that God has to have fulfilled is his commandments have to be fulfilled for every person between him and God. And there are many churches out there, and there are even our Jewish brothers and sisters that haven't found Messiah, are still trying to keep all the commandments. You talk to people and they say, well, I keep the Ten Commandments, or I try to. You hear about the Jewish keeping the 613 or the 612, 613 commandments every day. They keep every try to keep everyone up. Well, it says, fear God and keep his commandments. How can we fulfill that if this is everything that man's supposed to do between man and God? How can we do that? Well, the truth is we can't do it. But Jesus fulfilled all those commandments. And when he fulfilled all those commandments, we walk in what he has already done. Remember, the word says that he gives us his righteousness because our righteousness is filthy rags. That is the record that he completed everything. You put it on like a garment of praise, and you wear it, and God says, I see that you fulfilled all the commandments. That's grace. That's grace right there. Amen? Amen. But if you notice also that God will not allow the things done in secret to remain hidden. You know, there are plenty of people that call the name of God and are called by God, and they are not as clean and crystal clear inside them and in their walk. And God says, I won't have it. For God will bring every work into judgment. When he looks at the things you've done for him, do you want to see a smile on his face, or do you want to see that eyebrow go up? Oh, what did you do here? What were you trying to hide over here? You used to be around craftsmen, and they knew how to hide the little imperfections in their work, didn't they? And unless you knew what you're looking for, people say, oh, that's perfect. But you could look over there and say, you cut a corner there, didn't you? It doesn't look like it unless you know what you're looking for. And don't you think God knows what he's looking for? But he says all those things that are done in secret, whether good or evil, he judges them. Aren't you glad that you're under the blood of Jesus? We sang about being flawless, remember? You're flawless. Right? If you're flawless, what marks are there against you? Anybody? If you're flawless, what mark is there against you? How can there be? You're walking in Christ. Is God going to go judge his son when his son did it all and judge his son when he's seeing his record on you? But how many times do we say, oh my gosh, God's got to be so mad at me because I did this, I did that. I've got one scripture for you. There's now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you're not in Christ Jesus, then be warned. There's another thing that God does. It's those things that he judges, even the secret thing, good or evil. He has a way of making those secret things public. So it doesn't matter if you keep it secret. He'll shout it from the rooftops. Amen? Are you living a life where you hope the secret thoughts and conversations are never made public? If so, repent and get it right with God. Better to get it under the blood now than to let it be proclaimed openly for all to see and hear. How do we get wisdom? Anybody? Okay, but we're not there yet. But how do you get wisdom? Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is one of those 3:16s within the Bible that really means something. You go through every book and look at the 3:16, 3:17 area, and you'll see some interesting things. John 3:16 for one. But in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This book right here is how we get wisdom. The Word of God. All scripture is given, and it's given by inspiration of God. That means God inspired. We have other scriptures that tell us that holy men of God were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that same word inspired is used of when God breathed into Adam. And his spirit went into Adam, and Adam became a living spirit. The same spirit in man was writing exactly what God was saying. The way he wanted it said, using the pen and the author that he used to get the actual purpose on paper. So that you and I could sit here and we could look at it in many different translations. He wanted his word in us, but he wanted it exact. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then it says it's profitable. If something's profitable for you, that means it is not only good for you, it will make you better. If you work someplace and they don't pay you, you're not profiting. But if you work someplace and they give you your money and then they give you a raise on top of it after a while, you're profiting. Okay? All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for, and then it gives you four things. One is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is that teaching that tells you what is sacred to God, what is holy before God, what he's laid out as this is what I have for salvation, and this is the doctrine of angels, and this is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. These are doctrines. These are things that are throughout the Word that you can pull together and say, this is what we believe and why. Well, if you don't know that when you get saved, that you're accountable to Almighty God, you'd get saved and live however you wanted, right? You'd say the prayer and say, I don't have to change anything. That's fine with me. I accept that. Now I'm going right back out to my friends. I'm going to go right back out and party hardy. You know, there are druggies that go get cleaned up. They go to rehab. So when they go back out, it doesn't cost them as much as it did because now they can get high on less again. There are people that come to church to get just enough of God. They clean themselves up a little bit so they can go on doing their own thing. How many of these are going to be, Lord, Lord, didn't I? And God's going to say, I never knew you. But I knew you. I did these things. God confirms his word. He doesn't say that he confirms the preacher. He confirms his word. His word cannot lie. Amen? So first there's doctrine. Reproof, that's when you say, hey, don't go there. You're supposed to be over there. The word says, don't get over here. But I'm supposed to be over there, but now I'm over here. Oh, God, how do I get back? That's the next one, correction. How do I return to the doctrine? And then instruction in righteousness, how do I stay on that same path? And so just like a clover leaf at a highway, you're going along and you get off and your famous GPS says recalculating. Oh, wasn't that my turn? And then it's telling you, okay, make this next turn and you're back on. Sometimes it just says return to the path. I can't look down to see where the path is. What do you mean? Drive to the path. I'm on a path. You can argue with those things. But the Word of God tells you exactly when you get off. And guess what? You've got the Holy Spirit to guide you at the same time. To say, your spirit's getting in check. What do you mean? I'm not supposed to go over here to this place. And well, they serve that nice amber liquid in little bitty glasses with ice cubes and that big tall glass with the foam on top. And they got this loud, loud music. And everybody's going, look at the parking lot. It's full. And God says, that's not for you. But they're having fun. But it's not for you. I want you over here. And you get that check in your spirit. And you know what? You can drown that out. You can stop it. You can say, no, I'm not listening to that. I'm going. And that's where the correction comes in. God says, if you hadn't gone, you hadn't done that, guess what? You wouldn't have these memories to be forgiven of and forget. And you wouldn't have these scars in your life. So we get our wisdom from the Word of God. But the Word of God, sitting on the shelf, will do you no good about increasing your wisdom. You've got to open it. You read it. You say, hey, isn't that what Pastor talked about last week? But he was over here in this other book. Now I'm seeing it over here. And you know what? That deacon in the church, that passage I could almost say sounds like him. Because every week he's doing this or he's doing that. And it seems so good. And now I see here in the Word, that's what we're supposed to do. You get in the Word, you get the Word in you, and guess what? You start seeing God giving you direction. But you got to get the Word open, you got to get it in you, and you gain your wisdom by not only reading it and hearing it, because faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing by the Word of God. But you get wisdom by seeing it in others. You hear it and you read it and you say, oh, that sounds good. Oh, hey, now I see it in action. That's what it meant. God packed the Word of God with wisdom. to direct our steps, to show you when you're off base, to show you when and how to return on base, and how to stay on the right path. He packed it with wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6 through 8 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Listen to this. "He stores up sound wisdom for the upright." Are you upright? Are you living righteous? Are you supposed to be? He stores up wisdom for you. "He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints." He doesn't just get you saved and say, "Now you're not going to hell. Guess what? Make it here any way you can." He watches over and protects and gives you the wisdom in how to do things. Let's look at it in a different version. "All wisdom comes from the Lord, and so do common sense and understanding." There is a lack of common sense out there in the world today. You know why? It's supposed to be coming from the church, coming from the Word. And as people get farther and farther from the Word and they stay out of church, they lack common sense. "All wisdom comes from the Lord, and so do common sense and understanding. God gives helpful advice to everyone who obeys him and protects those who live as they should. God sees that justice is done, and he watches over everyone who is faithful to him. With wisdom, you will learn what is right and honest and fair." God teaches his children using wisdom. Sometimes it is what to say, right? I need to know what to say. He gives you wisdom. Other times, it's when to say it. And then other times, it is to listen as a younger Christian is walking, talking about where they used to walk or where they're trying to walk. Sometimes it's just listening. It's not telling. It's not teaching. The hardest part is having self-control to know the time and the need to say something and the time to sit back and listen. How many of you parents told your kid sitting on the floor that was just crawling, "All right, stand up." "Nope, you're not standing up. You got to put those flat part of your foot on the ground. Stand up. Come on, just like I am. Stand up." If you saw somebody doing that, say, "Just leave them alone. They'll learn." Now, if all they saw you do was crawl all your life, they never saw you stand, they would never try to stand. But a child learns by emulating what they see. We don't have to tell them it's time to walk. They get a desire to because everybody else is. Right? We encourage them in how to. They start getting up and say, "Oh, there, hold on to that table. There you go. Okay. Well, come here. Come on over here. Put your hands out." And they look at you. They look at the distance. And they go right back down to all fours and they crawl over to you. Oh, well, they'll get there. One of these days they'll get there. Next thing you know, after you've coaxed them and coaxed them and coaxed them, they're running all over the house and you're chasing them. You say, "What was I thinking? I got to slow them down. They got more energy than I do." Well, it's the same way with new Christians and young believers. We have to sit back and say sometimes, "You know what? I remember when I was in that situation. And I heard some preachers tell me some things, but I saw some people walk it. And when I saw them walk it, that's when I really learned it deep. They modeled it in front of me. I'm going to pray for them because I know where they're at. I know where they're at because I was there. It may have been 20, 30 years ago, but I was there." With new Christians, we tell them, "You can do this." Or you can ask, "What's God telling you?" And hear what they're saying. See, we're going to be inundated with new Christians in this place. We're going to be leading people to the Lord, and there's going to be people come in here, and they're not ready for the deeper things. They're barely knowing how to crawl. And we've got to be ready to know when to say something and when not to say something. It's just as important to not say something as it is to say something at times. The temptation is to tell them how to walk with the Lord, because we know. But you know, if we fall to that temptation, we're not just hurting ourselves. Oh, I feel bad. We're hurting them. None of us grew up in the Lord by having someone take us by the hand and pull us up onto our feet. The only place in the Word that you hear about someone taking someone by the hand and pulling them to their feet was at the Gate Beautiful. Silver and gold have I none. And as soon as he was up, he was walking and leaping and praising God. But see, we are shown the model of parenthood and children in the natural so that we can also understand it in the spiritual. Because we should have spiritual parents that show us, don't tell us, but show us how to walk in Christ. How did you learn the things you learned about Christ? How did you learn the deeper things about praise and worship? I've been to one worship seminar in my life. It was one right over here in Grandview. It was about a week-long worship seminar. One. And they taught various things about worship. But I learned how to worship by worshiping and being with others and worshiping with them. Or being by myself and worshiping. Praising the Lord. Lifting my hands, not because I was going to a Methodist church and I was raising my hands when I was praying by myself at home because it felt better. Not because I wasn't going to a Pentecostal church. I was filled with the Spirit and worshiping the Lord, going to a Baptist group, youth group on Friday or Saturday nights, I forget which it was, on the weekend, and going to a Methodist church on Sunday morning. And I was learning because I was hungry and I was in the Word. And it wasn't until a couple years later that I found out that there was a Pentecostal movement. There were Pentecostal churches. There were other people that were filled with the Spirit. The only reason I got filled with the Spirit is because I read it in the Word. But I didn't know how to get it. And I happened to talk to somebody and I heard him talking about stuff. And I said, "Are you talking about?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "How do you?" And he told me. I was in a Baptist ministry location, and he couldn't tell me much because he was afraid he'd get kicked out if they heard him talking about it. But he told me enough that I went home and I prayed and I got filled with the Spirit. Most people wait until they go to a Pentecostal church and experience it. I didn't know there were tongue talkers all over the place. I didn't know there were people praying in the Spirit and looking for the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry of the Spirit is according to Acts. That just happened to be where I was reading. I was getting hungry. I also was seeing that my life was not as strong as those in the book of Acts. I kept walking with God and falling. I didn't realize that I was learning how to walk and I was toddling like a 2-year-old. You watch kids now and they get all excited and they get over here. And they realize that they really didn't want to go that way. Next thing you know, boom, they fall down on their bottom. They just sit there. And then they turn around and they go the other way. That was me in my Christian walk. I didn't have good, solid foundation. I was getting all of it on personal time with reading the Word. Then I found out about Assemblies of God, and I started going to a church. And I started learning how to worship. Really learning how to worship and being in good services, learning how to be a Christian and that flawless, like we sang tonight, flawless, because God took it all. It wasn't, you had a hiccup, now you've got some kind of disease or something, you know, spiritually. I had a hiccup in my life. Okay, now I've fallen out with God. I got to get right with him again. But that was because I didn't know. But more that I knew, more that I was around people, oh, you mean I can walk with Christ? Yeah, you don't have to ask Christ into your life every time you come to service. I was one of those that every time there was an altar call, I felt like going down there. But once I realized that I didn't have to get saved every service, that it stuck with me through the week, I started growing. Now we'll go to James chapter 1. Verse 5 through 8. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. How pitiful is that believer in that last part of those verses, doubting what they're asking for because they're like a wave and they're not going to receive anything. If you're at the point where you're not receiving anything because you're doubting, it goes on up to where you probably haven't asked God for wisdom. Lord, how do I overcome this? How do I get this situation under control? Lord, I can't do it. Lord, it's not in my power. And he's probably sitting back saying, finally, you're right. It's not in your power. It never has been and it never will be. Go read Philippians. I can do all things through what? Christ, which gives me strength. Strength can be more than Popeye spinach arms. Okay? Strength can be more than mental resolve to stand when all else is going wrong. Strength can be that quiet, you know, I know that I know that I know, and I don't have to run in the situation. But we receive wisdom by getting it from God. Earlier when I was talking about when we have new believers in here, we cannot impart the wisdom of God to them by what we tell them. We cannot tell somebody all the things that God wants them to know because, first of all, they're in the Word. Second of all, Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that leads and guides each one to where he wants them to be and the way he wants them to be. Now, they get teaching in Sunday school, teaching from the Word, teaching in Bible study, teaching and preaching from the sermon. But did you know there's more teaching that goes on by how you walk in the door to church and everything you do and how you walk out? You say more with your actions than you ever do with your words. Sometimes, I forget who it was, says about, and it just escaped me, but it was preach Christ every day. Preach Christ every day. And sometimes use words. How quick are we to open our mouth and let fly? But what are we living and modeling before them? Is it the kind of personality that goes with our message? Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 11, pattern yourselves after me. It's the first verse. Pattern yourselves after me, my example, as I imitate and follow Christ the Messiah. He could have put in there instead, listen to my great preaching and do what I say. Listen to all my sermons They're going to be on tape someday. They'll be online someday. You'll be able to hear all of Paul's. Paul didn't. There was no internet. They didn't sit there and write those things down. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Isn't that, I'm walking this way. If you want to be victorious, walk the same way. Instead of saying it, he did it. Do it the way I'm doing it. Doesn't the world say something about, don't do as I do, but do as I say? Paul said, no, do it as I do it. Model your life and your walk after me. How many of you want to know that people are looking at how you're living your life so intently that they're trying to emulate it? Are you going, oops, I got to clean some stuff up. I got to change my attitude. I got to watch that people are not seeing me do things that they might stumble. These are all things that we're supposed to be doing. The church has gotten away from knowing that our lives are supposed to model what people believe they should see in Christ. You want these doors open? You want these pews filled? You want these seats filled to capacity where we have to knock out that wall? Live the gospel before people, before you preach the gospel to people. Live it before them. And you know what you'll do? People will be coming to you and saying, you know, there's something different about you. There's something different. What is it about you?